Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Welcome to episode 374, Jordan Reynolds. Jordan K. Reynolds is his Instagram. If you want to go look at it and see what he looks like as we do it. I always find I like to do that during interviews. I want to see a picture of the face of the person that I'm talking with. But here we are, episode 374. He is a Grammy award-winning songwriter. I mean, he's got two Grammys for 10,000 hours and God Only Knows by For King and Country. He is a CMA Triple Play Award winner, and that means he wrote three number one songs in a 12-month period. He wrote Tequila, he wrote Speechless, he wrote All to Myself with and for Dan and Shay. He's got so many number ones. He was just nominated for another Grammy. It's his fifth nomination. And he has won the ACM for Song of the Year in 2019 with Tequila. But I really enjoyed this talk. I really like someone who comes in and challenges me. Not like, I'll show you, let's argue, but who like presents ideas and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Well, what about this? I really enjoyed this talk. I hope you will too. Jordan K. Reynolds is his name. And let's go with another episode of the Bobbycast. I'm in that weird stage. I was over at my house because we just left the radio show, came here. By the way, glad you're here.
Are you tired?
No.
You've kind of got it dialed at this point, probably.
Mike, are we tired?
I don't really know. I feel this way all the time, so I don't know if I'm tired.
Like, is this
is
tired?
That how we exist?
Like, what time did you get up?
That is a really good question. I did not expect for it to stop me in my tracks to go, are you tired? Now, I get sleepy quite often.
Mm.
But I think it would be like asking a bodybuilder who's lifting weight, is that heavy? Because that's what they do all the time.
Wow,
they have to
really
do
good.
It at a high level or they don't grow and get stronger.
Well, you've been doing this for how long now?
Just radio itself in any form since I was 17.
Holy crap.
Mornings since I was 22. Yeah, that's almost 20 years, bro.
Dang.
I yes. know. That's crazy. So I started really, I've been lucky enough to be a grizzled veteran, but I started really young.
I think the most impressive part about what you do is being tired or whatever it is and still having your brain fire, because you have to be firing on all cylinders.
I wonder how firing my brain would be if I wasn't tired, though.
It'd probably be insane.
Well, and I appreciate you making it about me, but I don't want to make it about me. But I guess I think it's the end of the year, too. Do you have senioritis a bit as a writer, as a creator?
So the last couple of years, I've done like Thanksgiving through the end of the year. I just block it off. I usually end up writing, but like it's a good mental thing for me. I mean, you know, like awards week. Everything starts slowing down. Everybody's kind of like, all right, we got a couple more weeks. And I'm just like, I think it's just better instead of having like scheduled rights. It's like if somebody is around and we're in town, we're like, let's just get together. Cool. We got nothing planned. So I do and I don't, because I knew the finish line was already coming. Yesterday was the finish line for me.
Nice.
So we're.
It's the finish line of obligations.
That's right. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
Good.
I like that. I don't know. For me, it's never senioritis as much as it is, I got to get all this stuff done by then.
Mm.
Because we check out, I would never stop. I should. I have a wife and she makes me.
And that's a good wife, yeah.
Yes, but it was really tough for me at first because my whole life I've just run as hard as I can.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I have to, not to prove to anything to anybody else, but prove to myself, and I feel like I have to or I'm not going to be able to maintain success at all. Do you ever worry if you don't keep writing that you're going to either lose an edge inside of you or people are going to lose the fact that they think right now you're hot and they want to work with you?
Of course. Yeah, of course. I think like you get into an industry like this that's so subjective and you think like I am the golden child. I think you have to literally think that.
You know, I love that you say that because people will tell me, and I'm thankful you said that because I would have said it anyway, but it comes off so much worse if I just come out of nowhere and go like, look at me, I'm awesome. And I don't think that, but I say it all the time where a lot of people will go, they'll send me a message or people that are disagreeing with how I do things or they don't like just the show or a TV project to work on. Mm. And they're like, you're so self-obsessed. You're so self-indulgent. And I'm like, that's my career.
Mm.
It's either what I'm doing, what I'm thinking, how I feel about it. What it has to be.
Yeah.
I'm tired of me most of the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it really does.
I have to believe that what I'm saying is good enough to put it out and somebody wants to consume it, either with their time or their money.
If we're being honest, though, in literally any job ever, you have to have that. If you're the executive at some, because you're stepping into a situation where like you're looking at your calendar and you're going, I have so much to do. Okay, the only person who can do this is this Bobby. You know, like Bobby who is 100% on and doing it, and like you have to convince yourself that. But like say you're Elon Musk and you're going into a meeting and you're like, sure, he's got imposter syndrome. He's the richest man in the world, but like he's been really lucky too. He's going into meetings going like, any decision I make really, really affects things. And I have to have the confidence to know like I can do this. And it doesn't mean like you're egotistical, I don't think. You just have to believe in yourself, you know?
And there is a line, and I don't always cross, or I don't always walk it correctly, where confidence and arrogance meet.
Sure.
And sometimes I'm not quite as confident as I should be. Sometimes I'm so confident that it comes off as arrogant. Sometimes I'm really confident in some areas and just insecure as crap in others.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it could come off where it's like, oh, stop doing this act where you hate yourself. No. There are parts of me that I've struggled a long time with.
Yeah.
And don't really love, and I'm trying to get better. And there are parts of me where I go, oh, I'm a well-oiled freaking machine.
100%.
I would put myself up against anybody.
We like have this weird thing in our culture where you can't fully endorse yourself. You know, like it's such a bizarre thing. But we also want people who like know what they're doing. So I think the ticket to that feels like if you do ride the line, if you overstep and you've stepped into arrogance or whatever, it's like just like you've done a lot of work on yourself. It's obviously seems like you can just apologize. You know, like that's the cool part of humanity is like anytime we mess up, we can just be like, you know what? Remember that thing I said? I didn't mean that, you know?
Yeah,
doesn't allow completely for that, but
our culture doesn't really allow nuance. And you make a great point where it's like, yes, people want this, but they also don't want this, but they want this. But at the same time, it doesn't allow nuance at all. So you're just fist fighting the wind.
Yeah, that's right.
That you can't really win.
Oh, yeah. Everything's nuance. Religion, you know, music, everything. Yeah.
Yet there isn't room for it in the world that we live in because the loudest folks are those that don't live nuanced.
Yeah.
There's it's
pretty black and white. Yeah.
There are some situations that I've been in, and I'll talk about it now. And I really haven't talked about this at all, but I feel like I can safely talk about this. You're a super bright guy. Whenever Morgan got into trouble,
mm-hmm.
and I came on the air the next morning, and I'll just talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And I got on the air, and it's all on YouTube still to this day. I never pulled it. And I said, here's what's up. He's got to go away for a little bit. I don't think we should cancel him because I don't believe in canceling folks, but I do believe in second chances. And okay. I do. So I do this thing where I say, we're not canceling him, but he can't just stay right now. So I get crushed for the sake of it, we'll call it the woke side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, no, you cancel him right now.
He's gone.
Or you are the problem. The other side, we'll call the non-woke side. Mm-hmm. They're going, you don't tell him to go away. He stays right here.
Yeah, and consequence. Yeah.
There, and
you can't
I'm,
win. Yeah.
And I'm going, in my mind, and I haven't read any blogs.
I just say what I feel because I don't want to be shifted by someone else's perspective. Mm. I tell my story. I talk about how it's affected me, how I don't even understand how it's affected others because I don't live the life of somebody that's not me. Mm-hmm. I explain my education, yet my ignorance.
Yeah.
And I try to make sure everybody knows that. And then I say, here's my opinion. And I know Morgan.
Yeah.
And I like Morgan. And I've liked Morgan. And I said, but this is bad. It's a mess up. He's got to go learn.
Yeah.
And he's got to come back. But I was, sensibility has no allies.
No, it doesn't.
And it sucks.
Well, I think what you don't see, though, and what you don't hear as loud is all the people who totally agree with you.
Don't hear it all.
Think about, like, politically, even, you know, in the realm that we're all in, it's like my generation doesn't know what to think because we're like, I'm not far right. I'm not far left. I believe this and I believe that. Like, but like you're not allowed to. Like if you say you are this thing, then you are also all these other things. There's no nuance. So I just think a lot more people fall in the middle on those things and just wholeheartedly agree. Like, yeah, people shouldn't just be canceled. Like, it's like, throw Jesus in here. It's like throw the first stone, draw the line, throw the first stone. He without sin. You know, like all these people who are like the loudest probably about canceling him. I don't know. It's like, all right, well, what have you done perfectly? You know,
yeah, and let's also, so there are consequences to things.
Yeah, there's consequences. Absolutely.
But I was crushed. It was a nightmare for me. And I just,
that sucks.
I didn't expect to have no, but, and I don't care if people come out and support me because I've built a career off just saying how I feel and dealing with it, good or bad.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like everyone that would reach out, meaning folks through social media, everybody would be against me because those are the people that say stuff though, like people that are bold and loud. And but even that with the arrogance and the confidence, fine line. And if I'm in the middle, then what? It's like, well, then who are you? What the? It's difficult, and nuance is not really, I won't say accepted, nuance is not really encouraged.
It's everything, dude. Everything is nuanced. Yeah, it's fascinating.
When you talk about politics, you know, I don't say I'm down the middle, but I definitely say I do things and enjoy things on both sides.
100%.
I'm not down the middle.
Yeah.
I'm not, but did I grow up with guns in a small rural town in Arkansas, and I see that as a tool. I also know it can be a weapon, but do I see it as a tool and we need it to survive? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do I also think with guns, we shouldn't let idiots get guns and they should have to go through a process a little harder than, absolutely.
That's nuance.
That is, yes.
You're taking a little bit of both sides.
And I will scream this and I will say, hey, look, if we want to drive a car, which I'll drive a car to work, got a license.
Yeah.
When I had to drive an 18-wheeler for my Nat Geo show, I had to go and get a different license because it was bigger and it could do more damage.
Yep.
And so when I have a 12-gauge, but then I want to go to one of these, okay, I'm not a big fan of that gun, but I'm not going to say my ability, what I say goes. So, okay, let's say that gun still exists.
Yeah.
But you should probably have to get that 18-wheeler license to be able to do that. Crushed. And I think it's like the easiest thing. That's common sense.
Oh, yeah.
It's common sense. But yes, it is tough. And where would you put your confidence? Like when people meet you or work with you a couple of times, how do they feel about your general demeanor? Because you are a guy who's done a lot, succeeded at a very high level, a confident person. Does it ever come across as too humble or too confident even?
Man, that is great. I don't know how people perceive me, honestly, completely. But like, I think something that I try to do is create like a comfortable space where people can, like you're doing right now, have a healthy conversation. Have you met with Laura Veltz?
Oh, yeah.
Recently nominated for...
Love Laura.
Songwriter of the Year in the Grammys. Unreal. She's been a dear friend of mine. We kind of got started at a similar time. You know, she's a little before me, but something I've really respected about our relationship is, and if every writing relationship could be like this, I just wish it. And this is what I try to create. But we come from very different places. We have very different views on things a lot of times, but we can sit and have a conversation. And I mean, talk about the world in general. Like that's what's missing is we're so scared of things that we don't understand. And it's generally not as scary as you think. And there's nuance. Like it's, I mean, I remember growing up and thinking totally black and white in certain things that now I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, I just had no empathy for these things or I didn't know that side of the story.
Because there was no exposure probably.
No exposure.
That's been it for me too.
Yep.
Right. The more exposure I get to things, the more I have an empathy or an understanding that I don't understand.
Totally, dude. I mean, it's everything. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I've definitely, I think I can feel it. I feel like the arrogance and confidence thing. But generally speaking, I try, like, I mean, songwriting is such a service industry. It's kind of similar to what you do. Like, you're really good at making other people look good. It's like, that's kind of my job too, is find like a tasteful way to pull out the best things in an artist or best thing in other songwriters. So I think to do that, you have to create an environment where people are just like totally feel like they're safe to say whatever they need to say. They can be who they want to be. And, you know, past a certain level, you know, like we're trying to write like hit songs. We're not trying to finish a song anymore, you know? So we have to really be nuanced in how we create an environment that feels safe enough to do that. You know what I mean?
You grew up in the Midwest?
Yep.
What was home like growing up as a kid?
So both my dad was a music pastor at a pretty big church in St. Louis. And like, we did that all growing up. So I was a PK, pastor's kid, that is. So both my parents are musicians. They never did it like on a bigger scale. I think they would have, but
did they try?
They actually were in a tour. I say that right out of college, or high school, they went in this like internationals, I think was the name. And they went around and like did a cappella music for kind of all over the world, but
they got to experience how hard it is though.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew. Yeah. But that was the beauty of it too, is like, I came here and went to Belmont, and I never once thought like a creative job was out of the question, just because I saw my dad do it. You know, I saw my parents doing things that were not, my dad is just not the typical dad. You know, my mom's not the typical mom. It's like, there was a lot of freedom to be like, all right, you want to quit taking piano lessons? That's cool. I don't care. You know, like,
usually it's one of two ways. That's interesting that he was like that, because you get parents that are jaded by the experience or the art, even if they're still in it, and go, man, I don't want you to do this.
I already sense that temptation, because we've been on the roller coaster of it and seen like the super highs and the super lows, and you're just like, ooh, I don't know. But in the same breath, I see like the positive side. I'm just so pro like whatever our kids end up wanting to do, like just letting them do it. Like, they're going to be smart kids and they're going to figure it out. Like, I mean, I applied to one school, which is just not crazy to think about, but I just was like, that's what my parents are like, we trust that's where he wants to go, and he's gonna, you know, if that's what he wants to do, and it worked out. But yeah, it's like trusting that our kids will do the same. But
did you do music because like intrinsically it's just an existence in you, you think maybe genetically because it was in them, or and is the answer, can even be, there can even be nuance to this answer, or do you think because of your mom or dad and their love for music, you wanted their love, so you did what they love, which actually encouraged you to love it more?
Wow, what a question. Man, you're great at asking questions. That's a good talent to have, too. Maybe both, maybe a little bit of both. I definitely grew up, so I grew up playing classical violin. Like in third grade, we had to play an instrument, and it was violin.
Did you choose violin?
I don't remember choosing anything. I just feel like one day I had a violin. And then I looked up senior year and I was like, I've been doing this for a long time. I think like music stuff always came natural. I honestly didn't think about it. It sounds like braggy saying that. I honestly didn't see myself. So I don't know if you know Cody Fry. Mm-mm. He, good buddies with Ben Rector, that crew, played for him. He's dude I met at Belmont, just like freak. He's a prodigy dude, like just genius level musician. And I'd be like, oh, those dudes are musicians.
Wait, is he playing with Ben on his next?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I talked to Ben this morning. Ben and I are really close friends.
Oh, crazy. Yeah.
Okay,
cool.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I would see those dudes as like musicians. I'm like, oh, Cody's a musician. He knows every single thing. He can, you know, whatever. And so it wasn't really till college I started going like, oh, I think I do have something kind of innately in me. Like, I think there's something in me that just like has to get out. And it's wild too, because songwriting, I mean, before I moved to Nashville, I did not know songwriting existed. Like I didn't think about it. I didn't care.
So didn't come here to be a songwriter. You came here for, I don't know, finger quotes music.
Yeah. I mean, I got to senior year of high school, and I mean, I'd just done like hardcore classical violin. That was like my life.
What did you think that was going to lead to? Was it going to stop? Like I played football until 12th grade and I played a lot, but I knew it was stopping after 12th grade.
The moment I knew, so they have those like all state orchestras or whatever the things is. And I'm like, I love being around people. I like a deep connection. I like a good conversation. Kind of thing. So I went to this Allstate thing in senior year, and it's literally just all about what chair you're sitting in. Like, and if you're sitting at the closer chair, you know, to the people, that means you are better than the person next to you, whatever, as you go up the line. So there just wasn't a lot of like relationship in any of that. And I just remember thinking, I went to this thing and I was like, I tried to talk to my stand partner and they were just kind of like, didn't want anything to do with it. And I was like, I don't think this is the right place for me. I love music and I want to do it. So I owe a lot of credit to my oldest brother, Josh. He's a like a freak audio guy. He's been with Little Big Town doing front of house for them for like over 10 years. He engineers their records and stuff now. But at the time he was like, why don't you just come to Belmont and like do a vocal degree? Because a girl he was dating at the time was a voice major. It's so weird to think of all the things that hang in the balance.
Did you sing though?
I like had sung at church. You know, I was in a band, but like loose. I had no idea what I was doing. And so in my rationale, I was like, all right, well, I can teach myself to play instruments. I can't really teach myself to sing right. So, I mean, dude, it's wild thinking like I just went and was a voice major. So me and Russell Dickerson were like in the same major, same time. And we're the only two guys who graduated with that degree at the time too. Because everybody usually drops out. Like, that's what funny. Am I supposed to do with this degree?
Yeah. So wait, so you finished it?
We finished.
You got a voice degree?
I sure do, yeah.
Did you, in that process of getting a voice degree, do you study songwriting at all? Or do you just study to sing better?
Yeah, it's mostly just singing better. So it's a commercial voice degree, which means anything but classical. But you also, the first 2 years, all you study is classical, which is hilarious. Yeah, it's basically just to like be, I mean, honestly, I would do these panels of like perspective, whatever that word is, students and their parents would come in and they would ask us, parents would straight up ask, what are you going to do with a voice major? And I just made something up. I mean, I don't even remember what I said. At this point, I would be more honest and be like, I don't really know. You know, one of my good friends, Kristen Rogers, I think is probably doing like the epitome of what you can do with a voice major. And she's like, unbelievable BGV. She like sings with everybody. Like she is like a professional singer.
But
you know?
Did she need that voice degree?
No.
The second part of that is, did the process of getting that degree help her achieve the level that she needed? Or did it just bring her here and then she did it while she was here?
I mean, who knows? I think I'm so pro, I wouldn't change anything because everything got you exactly what you needed. But like
you learn though? And I'm asking because I have a dumb degree too.
Yeah.
Well, yours isn't dumb, but I'm saying I have people classify as, and I also now say it's a waste. And I think I was talking to some guys last time and I said, I went and spoke at a college and said, you're here for this degree, don't do it. Get out. Get something else. Because
I know, yeah.
And they told me not to come back. It was the whole situation.
Which is kind of a blessing in disguise, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Less things to do.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the boar's nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar'snest.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about the incredible work that's being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and to ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. Families do not have to worry about a thing. Treatment is covered, travel, housing, food. And when you're a family that's going through this, like imagine you're a parent, your kid gets cancer. You need to focus on that child. You don't need to be worrying about other things, and financial stuff can get really stressful. St. Jude covers it. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment. And when you sign up for just $19 a month, you're going to get the new This Shirt Saves Lives tee. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
So I have radio television, because I started when I was 17, and then I wrote in college as well, but it was I was already doing it.
Yeah,
that's what
I
tell people to do. Just go do it.
Well, and that was always the thing at Belmont. There was the Belmont bubble. You know, it's like we did the showcases and stuff, which was fun, and it did bring some cool opportunities, but for the most part, it was always like there were the people who did everything Belmont, there were the people who did things outside of Belmont. And that was the experience. It's just, I was just telling somebody the other night, like we're just getting to the place now where our friends from Belmont have like kind of powerful positions now at companies, and it's kind of starting to pay off. You're like, I remember when I knew none of these A&R people, and now these A&R people are my friends, and I can be like, hey man, you should check out this song for Dustin Lynch. You know, like that makes it so much easier and more fun, and it just feels like a family. So yeah, I think going through I needed college. I needed those 4 years.
Do you learn to sing better? Like, what's the point?
Oh, you definitely do. Yeah, I had my voice teacher's name is Jamie Wigginton, and he's, in my opinion, one of the best.
Did you want to be a singer when you finished? I know you did music. I've listened to the EP. I've heard your stuff, right?
Yeah.
But I wonder what you learned about yourself in the process. Was it, because obviously you're having to start songwriting at some point. You didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
You're singing, you're recording. You, like, were you just experimenting?
Definitely. I was flying by the seat of my pants. I was having a blast. I was like playing for people. I worked at a church for a few years and I was leading worship there. So it's like, I was using my degree, but I would genuinely just like, I'm just going to stumble into something. I think I knew like I wanted to be, I did a lot of demo work, like acoustic stuff early on. That's how I first met John Osborne, like before Brothers Osborne was doing anything, you know, playing sessions and stuff. And man, I stumbled hard into songwriting. I just had no idea. Like it's impossible for me to like give advice to younger people, because I'm like, I don't know what you do. You know, like move to Nashville and just start writing songs. You know, it's like, that's the first place.
Are you an eternal optimist?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I feel it.
Yeah.
And you're going, you know, I just felt like I'd stumble into something.
Oh yeah.
So in your mind, is it just going to work out?
100%. It's always going to work out.
It's interesting. I feel the opposite.
Eternal pessimist.
Oh man. I wish there was a word for longer.
Fascinating.
Than
I love. Have you met Jordan Minton? Another songwriter in town. He's coming. He's got a couple hits.
I have not.
One of my best buddies. He is the same way. And we have the best conversations because we view things. I'll be so shocked. I'll be like, wait, what do you mean it's not? Of course it's going to work out, you know?
I believe it's going to work out for others. Nothing works out for me.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, nothing works out for me. And if it does, it's because it has had to fail 73 times. And I am just tenacious enough to last, to finally make it work out. That's my
gosh,
mind.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
Completely. It's like, and nope, it's not getting to work. Whatever we're doing ain't going to work.
So does that mean like you're constantly, are you anxious about the future? Where does your brain?
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
Absolutely anxious about everything. I think I'm going to get sick and die.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to, the big issue that I've had.
What's your Enneagram number?
8.
You're an 8?
Yeah.
How fascinating.
Is that the dictator?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the, yes. I'm that one.
That's
I'm
amazing.
I'm an eight, and like I'm really close to a one. Like it was like so close to being a one.
The perfectionist.
Yeah, I'm a challenger. That's what I am.
Yeah, that's the eight.
I would challenge.
Oh, I love an eight.
I'll challenge even if I think I know I'm wrong. I'm like, oh yeah, you think that's right? Well, I know that that's not right, but I'm gonna challenge you to
you're
make
like,
sure.
Bobby, I just agreed with you.
And then, yeah, but I'm gonna make sure. But I feel like it isn't going to work itself out until I have to break it, figure out how to put it back together in its own way that allows me to work it out.
That is just, it blows my mind.
And I'm sure it's trauma.
Yeah, yeah. Something taught you that somewhere along the way.
Or it's love or lack or, you know, all these things that we have no idea how they've affected us and when they've affected us.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, my wife, who grew up different than me, she's from a small town in Oklahoma. And I grew up in a small town in Arkansas, so we have that in common. They're actually pretty close. Mm. Her mom and dad are still together, and they're awesome. I never had parents. Mm. And so it was like learning a new language.
Oh, yeah.
And what she struggles with me, and I totally understand her not understanding, which I think for me that's a valuable lesson, is I now can understand. I don't understand things, and why other people can't understand things,
mm-hmm.
is that I am always freaking out that I'm not going to be able to pay bills soon. And she's like, you're good for the rest of your life.
You're going to be fine.
And I'm like, but I don't think you understand. What if she goes, okay. But she has the hardest time of understanding that all my trauma is rooted in, I can't go back to how it was.
Yeah, I will never go back. Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of that is there. Now, I'm a positive person. I am someone who pursues it and love it and put it up and show everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Like somebody like yourself, I'd parade you around town like, this is Jordan, everybody. I put you up one of those big speakers, like, okay, this is Jordan Reynolds, most popular. You should love him. Because I love it. I just, I wish that was more me.
Yeah, man.
But I know it. Like, I know myself.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel like you know yourself now at this point? Do you like yourself?
I'm starting to learn myself definitely better. I'm starting to, like, believe things for myself. I feel like most people do that, like, in their 20s. Mine didn't really hit till, like, 30s. What has really, like, kind of made me lock into like some of these things. But speaking of Ben Rector, he posted some song the other day, and like one of the lyrics said, like, I've stopped blaming my parents for everything, or whatever it was. And we have two kids now, they're young, it's like 3 and 1. But I already can kind of see some of these things. You know, we talk about, yes, I think trauma does absolutely affect us in certain ways, but there are certain things that are like innately in us, mm-hmm. like we were talking about, like with the difference between my little boy and my little girl already, I can be like, oh my gosh. I mean, like, we didn't teach. My little boy will get like, he'll run into the wall face first. I mean, he is bleeding from his nose. And he'll just be, we'll be like, buddy, are you okay? And he's like, I'm fine, I'm fine. I'm like, you're not fine.
Was that you?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I didn't ask my mom. But we've never taught him, like, hey, suck it up. You know, like, don't show your emotions. If anything, we are on the other side of that. So, like, some of those things, you like, you know, you just don't. You can't teach, like, maybe it's just in us and we just have
nature
it.
Nature nurtures a super, like, I'm so intrigued and even curious about myself because I never knew my dad. He left when I was 5.
Hmm.
And so, but I will run into people from time to time back home that will go, oh, you're just like him.
That is wild.
You're quick like him. You do da-da-da-da-da. Multiple things. And I'm like, well, that's weird. I didn't get it from him because I was around him.
Yeah.
So whatever it is kind of embedded inside of...
That stuff is wild. And I wonder, too, like, some of that stuff, like, skips around generations, and you're like, oh, you're just like your great-grandfather or something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some of that stuff just shows up. I don't know.
Your parents, are they still with us alive?
Still with us, yeah, yeah. They actually moved to Hendersonville about 10 years ago.
Oh, they're here.
Yeah, so they're here. So my oldest brother's here. They're in, like, Goodlettsville.
Only other sibling?
No, I've got another one. His name's Jeremy. He was in the UK for a bunch of years. He's an actor and did a lot of theater stuff. And
so artsy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it is kind of wild. But I think so much of that is just the belief thing. It's like we all knew we could do it because our parents did it. But
also the energy that your parents put into letting, because it takes a lot of work for them to express and prove to you guys that you can go and do the work and do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a lot of energy from them just to be able to convince you guys that if you do the work, you can do whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, too, there's some beauty of growing up. Like, we were lower middle class, you know? And I don't say that to shame my parents. I say it to congratulate my parents. We had an amazing childhood, you know? Like, it was a beautiful childhood, and my parents did everything they could to make it amazing. I never felt like I missed out on anything. But there's like a beauty to growing up with nothing, essentially, you know, like we didn't have to go on vacation or anything. Because when I got out into college, like there was no expectation of like, well, you better start making six figures. You know, like that was never, that's still, my parents don't give a crap. You know, they don't care what we're making. Like they just want us to be doing what we love. And like that I can already like sense that like, oh, is this going to be different for my kids now? Because they're going to grow up with a little more means and that. Like we're just trying to be very intentional about like not letting that stuff pass off. Cause I think there's some beauty in going like, you don't need to do what dad did to be successful. Like that just doesn't matter. I already know that, you know, success. Have you read Psychology of Money?
Mm-mm. But as money, I usually I'm scared of it and don't read it and go, wow.
Just let somebody else do it. I mean, business managers, they're great.
Yeah. Yes. If now, I struggled with that big time.
Oh, yeah.
Just paying somebody to look at, have my money, have
talk about
to money.
Letting go of control.
Oh, it was the hardest. Yeah, I couldn't believe. You're gonna have access to all my, wait, what? And I'm gonna pay you to have access.
Yeah.
And oh, it was a tough.
And
one.
Other people do this.
Yeah. I mean, I probably spent multiple therapy sessions.
Just talking about that.
On that.
Well, it's funny because talk about a difference in our brain. Because we have just started working with business management in the last few months, and instantly, I mean, I had a like, my body had a reaction of us having in a positive way, like. I didn't realize how anxious and stressed I was trying to do it all on my own until we gave it to them. I'm like, within the week, my stomach started feeling better, all these things. Because I was just like, you know what? It's going to be great now because I don't have to deal with it.
I love it. I do.
It's just wild. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm envious that you can do that. And I'm trying to get better at that.
Yeah. It's right? Tough.
Because it has worked out. You know, I'll be honest. I can do that too. I can look at myself and go, you know what you say, but...
Well, here's the danger of being an eternal optimist, because it is like it's cool.
I like
right?
this. Let's do dangers of what we are. Yeah,
danger.
Let's do pros and cons.
This is good.
Do pros first. What's the pro of being an eternal optimist?
Anything is possible. Like any room. Like when I go in to write a song, I say this out loud. I'll say, there is no reason why we cannot write Song of the Year today. There's no reason. I mean, like look at. I mean, I remember going like when we wrote Tequila. Like we weren't even in that headspace yet. And like that can happen. So it's like, gosh, now that we're trying to do it, like we can definitely do it. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the positive. Anything's possible. Any right, any combination of people, mm-hmm. anything. We can make it work.
All right. Let me do a positive.
Yeah, you go.
Here's a positive of being an eternal pessimist. You're never disappointed.
Mm.
Because you are, well, it's going to happen anyway. I'm almost never disappointed because...
Wow.
I already don't expect it to work out. So when it doesn't, yeah, duh. That's what I said. And you almost,
I already told you. Yeah.
Yeah, and you rarely get hurt because you already expect the worst to happen because it has before. It'll happen again. So you're almost never disappointed and you're never hurt. So you're protected.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not saying this is the way to go. I'm just saying this is the positive part
that is,
about that.
I totally get that, yeah.
Okay, go with the opposite side of yours.
Okay, so like speaking of business management, I'm telling my friend who's an eight, one of my best buddies, I'm telling him like, because I'm so excited about this. I'm like, dude, we're going to do business management. They're going to take everything. Like, I don't have to think about it again. And his first thought, I'm thinking he's going to be like, dude, that's awesome. He's like, yeah, so who audits them? And I was like, what do you mean? Why don't I have to audit them? He's like, dude, they have complete control over your finances. And I was like, I didn't look at it that way. So the danger can be, and you know, I'm like cautious. I would say I'm more, depending on the situation, I'm more cautiously optimistic. Like when it comes to an investment, like a pro of that, like we got into 30A because I was just like, let's do it. You know, like we're going to do it and took an aggressive move and it really paid off to be down there. But then after that, I had to sit and go, this is not going to happen again, most likely. So let's now be cautiously optimistic and not just throw everything at the wall and it's all going to stick. You know, like, so that those are the, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can get yourself in trouble thinking everything's going to work out because realistically, not everything's going to work out. You can buy a lot of crypto.
And I bought some. And
it might be working out, though.
You know it ain't going to work out.
It might work eventually.
I'm telling you, it ain't going to work out.
I don't really have any crypto, though, so.
Okay, here's the bad part about being an eternal pessimist is that it's hard to find real joy.
Hard to celebrate.
Oh, no. I never. I mean,
Ooh, yeah, that's tough.
It is.
I will tell you, though, it's hard to celebrate for an optimist, too, because I think part of it is like you think your best days are yet to come, and you're like, this is cool, but this is not going to be the biggest thing we've ever done. And then you look back on things and you go like,
never thought about
that. Was
like
pretty
that.
Big. Maybe I should have just been excited when that was happening. Like that's where my brain goes. And my wife, talk about a good wife. Like she's so good about small things now, you know, like going, hey, the other night, Dustin Lynch FaceTimed me on a Friday night. And he was just, I pick up the thing and he's playing this new song that me and Devin Dawson and Lisa Vanderheim wrote. And it jacked me up. I feel like I wouldn't normally. I'd be like, oh, okay, cool, yeah, he's cutting a song, you know, that's great. But is it going to be a single? I don't know. Whatever. So in those moments, like that moment, I sat back down on the couch and I was like, I'm so fired up right now. Like this song that I love, Dustin Lynch just FaceTimed me. He's in love with it. Zach Crowell loves it. This is sick. You know, like, and my wife was like, way to go. That's awesome. You know,
nice.
Like, this is cool. You're celebrating this moment. I was like, I'm going to be excited about this. Like, you know, so that's where it can get celebrating. I think either way is tricky.
It is tricky
for different reasons.
And I think if it's something cool, one, well, this ain't never going to happen again. Where you're like, well, surely there's something bigger coming. And I'm like, well, this is it. This is probably it.
Surely this is the top of the mountain.
But my wife, who has been such a great, I won't even say counterbalance. I think she's just been, she's added completely. Elements of complete balance where I had none. Elements, because I'm definitely not there.
Yeah, yeah.
She will force me to, even if I don't fully accept it, hear and recognize why some little moments should be acknowledged. And sometimes she won't even make me say the word celebrate. But she'll be like, okay, cool. Well, we're not going to be so pumped, but we're going to at least acknowledge right now this.
Even if it means, small things. Like, my wife doesn't drink. I don't really drink that much. You know, like, so, like, alcohol is always the first celebration, I feel like, for most people. It's like, hey, we're going to, like, make a nice meal tonight. Or we're going to go out to dinner tonight. And it's like, it's not that big of a deal, but we're going to do something to remember how this felt. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, I think it's necessary. I don't want to get the end of all of this and be like, man, I just didn't celebrate. I wasn't excited. And, like, and all these people looking at our lives and going, like, what? You weren't excited about that stuff? Like, how could you not enjoy that, you know?
I get that from her. Why are you not enjoying this?
Yeah.
Like, we'll go on a trip.
And not in a shameful way.
No, you know, not
like,
at all.
It's like, come on, this is awesome, you know?
My wife is very much like, hey, bro, like, why do you work so hard all the time and kill yourself and have these huge goals if you have every once in a while can't actually celebrate, like, can't have some of the spoils that you've worked for?
Yeah.
And so we'll go on a trip. Things like that I would never be able to do in my life. And she'll go, look what we get to do, because this is what, so relax.
Oh, yeah. So going back to the psychology of money thing, this guy said this, and I feel like I have to repeat it to myself weekly, but he said, he interviewed all these billionaires, and the book is amazing in general, but he's like, what is success? What is wealth? What is success? He asked all these people, and they said, the ability to wake up and do what you want to do with who you want to do for as long as you want to do it. And that is true success. You could do that making 30 grand a year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but that's like the beauty. Yeah, going back to like this, enjoying the spoils of it. Yeah, there's almost like a thing in our culture of like, well, you're doing it. You're right. So ride it all the way out, you know, all the way, like take full advantage of it. And in the meantime, you're like not getting to spend any time with your wife or your kids or whatever. You know, like, it's like, you got to enjoy it. You know, like, yeah, that is the point of all of it, you know, like, and the balance of it.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. You got a couple Grammys.
Yeah, we got one. I mean,
I thought you got one for maybe two. Wait.
So Dan and Shay won for
that counts 10,000 hours.
Tequila and 10,000 hours.
Yeah, you didn't get both. You don't win both.
And Speechless, maybe.
So okay, so are you loosely associated? You're loosely associated with how many Grammys?
I think like three or four.
Okay, but you have one physical one that
I have one physical. Like, we just got nominated yesterday for another Christian Grammy.
King Country, right?
Yeah, for King Country.
That's awesome.
So random. Yeah.
Why?
Ben Vaughn, you know, or Warner Travel. He came to me and Josh Kerr. It was like a couple years ago. Hey, he's like, you guys are Christians, right? And you write music. You should get together with For King Country. And I was like, I know that math makes sense in your head, but I don't write Christian songs. Like, so this could be a train wreck. And literally the first day we got together, we wrote this song, God Only Knows, that ended up winning the Grammy. It was like, it just started this insane, like super cool. CCM is so tricky for me.
CCM.
Contemporary Christian music.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're in the biz. It can come across cheesy if you're not careful. And so I think like what's cool about those guys is they just do such a good job of making like real good music. Like it's really good. We have great conversations about life with those guys. I just love making music with those dudes. They're just wholesome dudes.
You cut the track, it's out, whatever. Was it a success in that world as just a song?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was like a 14-week number one.
Oh, that's success, yeah.
But that world is a little different than country. It's like what country used to be, kind of.
14 weeks, though, at anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm playing Madden and I win 14 Super Bowls against the computer on rookie mode, I'm still like, that's pretty freaking good.
That's pretty good, yeah. I can't actually pretend to completely understand that side of the industry, but like... yeah, it was a pretty big success in that world, and it's just cool. I mean, man, I feel like in songwriting, I have to do a lot of different things to keep me interested or inspired, you know? And so those have been just like super fun ways to feel inspired. And, you know, like we come into it not being Christian writers and go like, what if we said this? And like, gosh, we would never say that in this. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how I felt getting into country. It was like, I don't know the country lingo that well growing up in St. Louis. I've got some country grandparents, you know, but like I had to like kind of fake my way through it till I knew what was going on. But I also had something to say that all the country people didn't have to say, you know what I mean? So there's, it's like harnessing that piece of you that's a little different. That's okay, you know?
Was your first, I know your first number one was Tequila. Hopefully I'm right on this.
Yeah. But
was
yeah.
that your first single?
That was my first single.
Are you kidding me? It was your first single and your first number one?
Man, we went Tequila, Speechless, All to Myself, 10,000 Hours. I think I should probably go to bed before that. And then like Glad You Exist. We had this ride and I knew it wasn't real.
This like, is like 30A. Like, all right.
Yes.
We got in.
We got in at the right time. Yeah. You know, like it set horribly unrealistic expectations, even though I knew it shouldn't. You know what I mean? Like I just had incredibly unrealistic expectations.
It's crazy that was your first single. I'm not even talking about number one because it was such a massive song.
Yeah.
And I will also say with complete bias, we're very close to Abby and Dan.
Yeah.
And
Dan said he's going to stop by the way.
Great. So. I mean,
he's around the corner.
He probably knows the code. I mean, mm-hmm. My wife and Abby are like best of friends. So that being said, I still, that Tequila was such a, dunna. And then the jaws just attacked. That
yeah.
shark was so big for so long. It was a real staple of that year in country music.
Yeah.
And that's your first single.
It was crazy. I remember.
Can you even appreciate it?
Yeah. No, definitely not. I mean, I remember like vividly. This was the first time this kind of happened. So before Tequila came out, speaking of 38, we were down there. We're staying at Chris and Hillary's house, Hillary Scott's house. And I had come with my in-laws. So I'm playing for my sister-in-law. She's always been a great like test for me. I'll play new songs for her and be like, she's just a country listener, you know? So I played her four or five songs. We've been, you know, whatever. And I'm just playing acoustic and I got done with Tequila and she was like, you did not write that song. And I was like, I mean, yeah, I did. But it wasn't even like I wasn't even most excited about that song. It's like just how we, you know. And that was like October or so. And I was like, yeah, I think it's actually the next Dan and Shay single, you know, like, which is crazy, you know. But
was it the first one off that project?
Because it was the first one off that project.
I remember the new aesthetic with that song.
Oh, yeah. All the cymbals and all that. Yeah, that, I mean, props to Dan and Shay and Rohan Coley over at Warner. Like Rohan had just signed on. Him and Dan have been good buddies for a long time. And Rohan's first project was basically convincing everyone at Warner that Tequila needed to be the first single. They were not in a stage in their career, technically on paper, where you could just throw a ballad out as the first single. I don't even know if really anybody's in that stage ever. You know, like it's a tough spot to be in. And Rohan's like, I will put my life on this, which is he did so much behind the scenes to make that song happen. You just never know. But what it did was it set up the rest of the record to be elevated. You know, like if it had gone, you know, All to Myself first or whatever else, even like it would have changed the trajectory of that whole project. So,
and they won the ACM Song of the Year in 2018 or so. Right?
Yeah, 2018 or 19. I think.
Whatever the year.
Yeah. We had lost the CMA and the Grammy and then won the ACM. It was wild.
Yeah, I remember when it lost the CMA because I was with Dan.
Oh yeah, it was a dark night.
It was a dark night. And Dan and I are a lot alike, and we are both pretty OCD about different things. Dan's OCD like crazy.
Oh yeah,
I'm OCD like crazy. He's OCD like crazy.
Oh yeah,
and I respect it and love it. But get it.
That's why we love Dan. Yeah.
And I remember just going, oh man. So I reached out that night. And after we had talked, I was like, bro, I know what I'd be feeling right now.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you're not, but I felt like that. And I said this in an Instagram even the other day, how Dan and Shay had such a, with you guys, had such a massive collection and it wasn't rewarded when it should have been. So then everyone knew it and started to get rewarded afterwards.
Because
they were, that should have been rewarded.
Yeah. Isn't that always happens in award shows too, it seems like. Like the Grammys, like somebody will win the next year.
I firmly believe that's why I haven't won the Nobel Peace Prize yet. I need one more year, and
it's next year, dude.
Yes, that's it. Has to be right.
You know, yeah, I think it could happen.
I did feel like you guys hardcore were robbed out of the Song of the Year there, but again, how mad can you be whenever you're on such a run?
Man, I just, you know, I have said this to other songwriters. It's like winning awards. Nobody remembers who won the last year. If we're talking honestly, nobody gives a crap.
Absolutely.
But winning is sick. Having an award in your studio, if it helps people like legitimize you or whatever, or just trust you more, then that's great. But don't put all your eggs into I've got to win, or even I got to win Songwriter of the Year. It's like, we're in the age of Ashley Gorley. You're not winning Song of the Year.
But someone would say, can I counterpoint you?
Yes.
Because I don't believe in, I believe what you're saying, but I like to counterpoint you anyway. Okay, that's cool, Jordan. You've written all these number one songs, so shut up and telling me what I should be happy with having whenever you came out of the womb with the number one.
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, yeah.
I don't even believe what I said right there, but I was just...
No, it's good to have the counter. I mean, yeah.
But it's... I think sometimes seek validation from what I would consider respected peers.
Yeah.
And I think, because you're right, nobody remembers the awards. They honestly don't.
It's always easier when, and of course, a winner saying, oh, award shows don't matter. It's like, well, easy for you to say.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like me trying to host the CMAs. I'm like, eventually they got to give it to me. And so many people, big folks, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. But I'm like, no. That's been what I've been working toward forever, but it's a personal thing, right?
And it does always seem to go that you don't know what you got. No, that like you know, once you get the validation, say you're a country artist, you get the validation of country radio. Bobby Bones is on your team and he's playing your music. Rarely, actually, does that line up with a lot of the award show nods. Now, maybe ACMs are a little more like commercial friendly kind of vibes. Especially Grammys.
No way, yeah.
Dan and Shay, the fact that they get nominated for Grammys and have radio success is like, that's a unicorn. You know, like, usually one comes without the other.
It's just almost, you have to have such unparalleled success.
Oh, yeah.
To even be in the Grammy / commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And they've done it. And it's super
cool. Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it's super cool. Are you, because when I think of you, I obviously know all the songs that you've written for Dan and Shay because of my personal relationship with that group.
Yeah.
Are you, in a lot of people's minds, the guy, the Dan and Shay team guy?
It's a great question. Man, I like, me and my publisher talk about that stuff. We kind of like early on, because I also do tracks, and I was like, I don't want to be another track boy, you know? I want people to know that I'm a songwriter, all these things. I think we were just very intentional early on about going, we're going to get in a lot of different camps. We're going to really like try to spread this out. And I think, I kind of pride myself in being able to be a chameleon in like whatever room we're in, you know? So I think, I'm sure there are like people who are surprised when they come in, they're like, oh, I thought you were just like the pop country dude and we write like a super country song or something. You know, like, I think that has definitely been a fear of like, I don't want to just be the pop country dude, especially in a time where pop country is not cool right now, you know, seemingly. It's like, I think in the writer's room, you know, just having those relationships with the writers, I don't think that's necessarily... I could be wrong, though. That could be the eternal optimist in me.
You know, it's funny about pop country, and you're right, but it still circles all the way back to what we were talking about a minute ago or 45 minutes ago, is that, okay, pop country, let's say it's not cool, because it's not cool. However, just like I said, there's no sensible, it's still the most consumed. It's still, but nobody's coming up going, I'm a huge fan. It's like The Weeknd. You ever meet somebody that's like, I'm the biggest The Weeknd fan? No. But you know who streams like crazy? The freaking Weeknd.
I looked up Khalid the other day. Like, I don't feel like I've heard, I mean, you have heard his songs recently, but like, he has like 50 million monthly listeners on Spotify.
There are a lot of people who love it, but there's just no need for them to scream because they don't feel like anybody is doing them a disservice.
Yeah, definitely. And like, they already, pop country was already on top. It's like, you don't have to root, you know, like, we don't have to know that you're a fan of Alabama. You know what I mean? Not this year, obviously. But like, if you've already done it, you're like, yeah, you've already done it. It's like we talk about with kids. When you have your first kid, people are like, oh my gosh, we're so excited. You announce you're having your second kid, they're like, okay, cool. You know, you already had a kid. You know, like, that's just going to happen.
Did you get to meet Dolly?
No, I didn't. Josh Kerr did. He like, I think he got to track her on the thing, but... No, it would have been sweet.
It would have been. Well, it still could happen.
It's amazing to me that she won a Grammy and didn't even show up. I mean, that's it. That's a power move, you know?
You get no more powerful than Dolly.
It's phenomenal. Respect it.
You going to go?
Yeah, we'll go.
Have you been every time you've been nominated?
Yeah.
Is it a pretty cool trip, though?
Dude, it's one of the coolest trips.
Yeah.
The last one was weird because it was 2020 and Kobe died that day. in LA.
That day, it was
literally crazy. We were in the elevator, like going down to the main spot, and it was like Kobe Bryant has died in a helicopter crash outside of LA. We're like, what? So we won a Grammy in the pre-televised thing. We walk outside, and there's just thousands of people out there. It's just surreal. Like, but man, LA is such a magical place. I love going out there, and yeah, it's just such a fun thing.
How do you not write the same song?
You got to find ways to be inspired by new things. That's what, like what I was saying earlier of like, I can't just write super country songs, or I can't just write pop country, or I can't just write pop or Christian. It's like you have to have a well-balanced diet, and that like inspiration is just like everything. You know, like when you're trying to get a hit, if you're not inspired by the idea you're writing in the room, or if it doesn't make you just go like, oh my gosh, like let's just chase it till we do find that. So, I mean, that's the easiest way, like finding new sounds, writing on different guitars. I mean, but also still borrowing, you know, like you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, like borrow the things that did work and transplant those into the new songs, you know, like.
Do you ever find yourself inadvertently, pardon the word, stealing a song from yourself?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And you 100%. Have to go, oh, whoa. Yeah, that's me, but I can't, oops.
Oh, 100%. I mean, yeah, I'm typically the first person in the room to be like, even if I don't know what it is, I'm like, doesn't that sound like something? And shouldn't we be careful, you know? But yeah, it's just natural. I mean, we only have so many things in our brain that our brain naturally goes to, you know?
Are you constantly thinking of song concepts, titles, and or melodies?
Always trying to think of concepts. I mean, to me, that is the basis of all music, but specifically country music. Like, that's the inspiration point, you know?
What is the concept that you knew immediately, kept, savored, treasured, and it turned out to be something?
Dude, this is going to sound like I'm making this up or like rose-colored glasses, whatever. I had the idea for tequila. I had When I Taste Tequila. And there's only been a couple of those moments that I was like, this is definitely a song. I had that. And then in the same time period, I had an idea called What Keeps You Up at Night that was on the Dan and Shay record. That was like the only outside song on that. Like you just get a feeling because it feels like I can already see the song. Like I can see the whole thing from looking at the title. It wasn't my title, but 10,000 Hours was like that for me. Dan said that title. We did like a writing trip before the Grammys in LA, I guess in 2019, whatever year it was. And he had thrown out that title in the room and nobody bid on it. And I was like, dude, I am obsessed with that title. I forgot about it. Like 3 months later, we're writing with Jesse Joe Dylan. And Dan was like, I've got this title, 10,000 Hours. And I was like, dude, we have to write that. Like that is a smash. I don't even know. However way we do that, like we will make sure it's right. You know, like, but there's only a few of those kind of songs, I feel like.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Why do you think certain songs resonate within your within oneself more than others? Because you're thinking of all of them. Like, what do you think it is?
I mean, it could be so many. I think it's nuanced. We haven't said that in a while. I think it's time to bring it back. What's so tricky is, like, something that really inspires you may not inspire me, or vice versa. I might just not catch the vision for it or whatever. But, like, I mean, it's probably because it's reminding us of something else we love and we don't quite know it. I mean, most likely. It's like when you see someone on the street and you're like, wow, that person's really attractive. And it's like, oh, it's because it looks like my cousin.
Well, that's a weird life you live, Jordan.
I was trying to pull in the Arkansas thing. Yeah.
And then you went there. Good, good, good. You get in a room with a new songwriter, somebody like, this person's really great. You should spend some time with them. And they say, Jordan, hey, what do I need to know about this town and this, like, help me out? Because, and it's somebody that you see is raw, but really good. Like, what do you tell that person? Because I'm sure this has happened to you many times.
What's crazy is you kind of already can tell. And I always felt this way, like, coming up. Like, people be like, oh, dude, you're going to have hits. No problem. And I'm like, well, that, why don't you tell the artist I'm writing with that? Like, I can't get a, you know, hit to save my life. But, like, there's a certain, like, personality type and talent level that, like, even if they're not quite there, you can be like, that person's going to do it. So it's not, it's, like, less even, like, giving specific advice. I think about, there's this girl, Mackenzie Carpenter. She's a new artist in town. Everybody's been talking about her. She's amazing. And I wrote her the first time and I was just like, yep, she's got it. Like, she has the personality to do it. She's got the look. She's got, like, all the things. Amazing writer. And I was like, we don't really have to tell you anything. Just, like, keep your head down and keep writing songs. Don't be upset if you're not getting in the rooms that you want to get in. Things that I have to still tell myself is, like, sometimes you're still just not ready. That doesn't mean you're not talented enough, but it might mean you don't have the skill set that you need. It's like the amount of times I've written a song and the next week I'm writing with a new artist and I'm like, or with an artist that I've been trying to get in with. It's like, I just learned this little trick that now is going to be in this song. And I'm like, ooh, what if I hadn't written this song today to get me prepared for that? Like, that's a close example, but, like, just be okay, like, waiting it out a little bit, if that's what it means. Like, you want people to be excited to get in the room with you.
But that's advice. You said you don't have any advice to tell them, and then you said, I don't have anything, but here's what I would say.
Well, if
but
I
then
had
you did
something.
Say it. That's great advice.
I lied. Yeah, I definitely lied.
What's better
is
songs?
Is it okay to lie here? What's better songs?
Yeah.
So
it is okay to lie, absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. Most of this has been a lie.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not even here. This is a recording of me. Mike's pushing a button ball wall, a wall.
It is impressive.
Of sound. Yeah.
It is difficult for me to talk to a wall, though. Uh-huh. That is what's difficult. But it is impressive, the technology. What was the question? Oh, better songs. Yeah. So started with a buddy of mine who's actually my lawyer. His name's Chase Neely. And I just, like, I love talking about songwriting. I could just talk about songwriting forever. And my buddy Chase has actually done this kind of program with a few other people, like authors and stuff, and kind of like the masterclass kind of feel. But this is geared towards new writers. Just like getting your footing and, like, just going deep into, like, actual things that, like, you wouldn't have to really tell a new writer who's already signed. It's like going past the point of what you think you need to explain and explaining that stuff. Like, here's rhyme schemes. Here are the simple rhyme schemes. You know, kind of starting in that world. But I'm just, like, passionate about songwriting. I love songwriting that much. They're like, we're just going to throw a bunch of stuff at you and you can just talk about songwriting. I was like, that sounds great. So, yeah, we've been doing it for, it's about a year now. We just kind of started this subscription part of it. But I got to interview a bunch of my good friends and stuff just recently and did, like, a little week-long virtual summit thing. Got to do, like, podcast kind of thing and talk to all these people about songwriting. It's just so fun for me. I love it.
And that's at bettersongs.com?
bettersongs.com.
What's that going to run me?
For you?
No,
we'll
no,
make
no.
a deal.
you can also follow on Instagram at better_songs_. This is a really softball question, but a real answer. What is your favorite song that you've written that you're most proud of? And it could be for success. It could be for something that took you a year to actually finish, or it could be a message. I don't really care. Mm. And I'm actually vamping to give you time to think right now.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a broad question, but what's your favorite song that you've written?
It's difficult because favorite, you know, like I'm just attaching all these feelings to these things. And the song, talk about a softball answer. The song that really I do feel that way about is Tequila. Like, it's to me like the best representation of what I love to do, you know, like, and just like simple and make somebody feel something, you know, like, and the fact that it was my first hit, I feel like people, that was always like a fear of mine in a weird way. I didn't think about it a lot, but like I had buddies who had hits early on and they just like weren't proud of them. Like we do like writer's rounds and they'd be like, I'm not going to play that song. I'm like, dude, it's a hit. People love this. And they're like, I don't think it like represents me that well. And I was like, ooh, I hope I don't have one of those, you know? So it's so fun, like having, I feel that way about, I mean, all the hits, but like specifically Tequila, it's like, it's just so sick being like, I'm so proud of how this song turned out. Dan crushed the production. Like the piano thing is my piano that I created in Logic, like when I first started doing tracks, and now know that like that was the reason I created that piano, was to be in Tequila, you know, like just wild, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm super proud of that song. I think I always will be too. I mean, realistically, and this is not the eternal optimist in me, because even as I'm saying it, I don't believe it. But it's like, when I die, it'll probably be like, Jordan Reynolds, songwriter of Tequila. You know, like that realistically will probably be it. I don't believe that because I can't exist that way. But yeah.
Which song was the most tedious to finish of your hits that we would know?
That is a great question. Honestly, probably Speechless, because we were so into like, the record was already done. The album was done. Like he was about ready to turn it in. Dan texted me at like 9 p.m. on Thursday night. It was like, hey, I got this last idea. I just remember being very, like we combed through that stuff so hard, like just to make sure. Cause we were like, I mean, this is our last shot. If this is not going to beat anything on the record, this song disappears. So like, let's make sure this is it. I mean, it's funny cause I try to not think of it as work, you know, so it's hard to remember. But we've been doing a lot more writes recently where we break it up into 2 days and we like let it be tedious, you know, like in a good way.
So you don't force, all right, guys, it's 3 o'clock. We got to finish it.
Yeah.
You just purposefully, you go, we're not going to finish it today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah, I like that.
There's been a little too much emphasis on success being finishing a song in a day.
The efficientness part of me doesn't like it, but I like the creative side of me, because I'm running dual sides here. Like I'm running business, but I'm also like, I have to be super creative.
Oh yeah.
The creative side of me is like, oh, I'm not supposed to finish today. So I can relax and get to that place where I'm my most creative.
Mm.
Like that's great.
Oh yeah. And I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, which is the achiever, which means I like to finish things. Like, and so it's a good exercise for me to go, it's okay to take a break and step away and go, let's hear with fresh ears. Like, does that really hit like we think it's hitting? You know, like, how can this be elevated? How can that second verse lyric be even better than what we think it is? Just from listening again, you know, getting away from it.
What do you want to say now about Dan and Shay and music? You've written some stuff. And
yeah, man, I'm really excited for this new phase for them. I think, like, you know, as things have gotten more country, like, if there is anyone who just is a genius when it comes to figuring out music industry stuff, it's Dan Smyers. Like, he's known it, and no, he's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But, like, he has such a, like, gauge on what's happening. Like, I think the next album is going to be so sick. He's been playing me stuff. And
okay, I'm glad you said it, because I wasn't going to say anything about record, but yeah.
Okay, oh, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. You're in the mix then. Good.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say that.
Yeah.
Or I was going to then say it.
I'm like, I don't know, man. I haven't talked to Dan in weeks.
We were at a charity event together and he was like, yeah, we're recording. You know, just so, yeah, great.
Good things are happening. I think it's going to be really good. And, you know, I mean, it's so funny thinking about Dan and Shay. Like, we think of them as pop country. If you listen to the Dan and Shay self titled album, it's like, it's not really that poppy. It's still full band. And, you know, like, it's just not that big of a departure. But the songs are great, and I think they're fired up. Shay sounds better than he's ever sounded in his life, which is even difficult to believe that he could sound better than he does. But
are you fired up? Are you excited?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm stoked.
I don't want you to give an answer here. Don't be specific. But you ever get a song back that you've written and you're like, oh, that's what they did with it? Not even them, but anybody.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, I feel
it's few and far between, thankfully. That's part of the reason I got into doing tracks and stuff was to be able to have a little bit of influence in that world. But, like, I would say, by and large, like, I trust the Nashville producers. And if, like, we also have the rapport with now that, like, I think I could, they might ask, like, hey, like, or they're going to ask for tracks. They're going to do something that where I'll still have some influence. I'm not typically worried. There have been a few surprises.
You working on anything solo?
I mean, I'm always kind of like dabbling for fun. It's not like the thing I prioritize, really. I've been trying to write solo and think like, what would I just do, you know? But in the back of my mind, I'm always like, who could this be for, you know?
It's just gotten too easy writing with other people. So now you're like leveling up, like going level 4 Donkey Kong.
Yeah, that's
where
right.
Where I'm going to write by myself.
And blindfold.
With one ear. Yeah,
and
yeah,
one
yeah.
Hand.
Yes,
yeah, one
yes.
hand. Yeah.
Well, listen, man, I'm a big fan. I guess I'm a big fan of you personally because I just have so many people that are in both of our, and I don't have a very big circle. I stay pretty
Same,
private.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you have people that you really value and they also value somebody, you then value them through association. And
yeah,
just,
I appreciate that.
And just know that that's like a good dude.
Yeah.
And so you've always kind of been that even though we've not spent any time together. So I was excited that you were coming over today. And
can I tell you the first time I gained some serious respect for Bobby Bones?
By the way, I would love to hear this story. I'm always weird about it because I want to hear it, but I don't want to. But I don't because it makes me feel awkward. But
no, this is good. This is really good.
Have we ever met?
Yeah. So this is that story.
Okay.
This is a great story.
Okay, I'm ready. And it can be tell the whole truth, even if it doesn't make me look good.
Makes you look great, honestly.
I'm up
it makes
for
you
it.
Look really good.
Okay.
So week of, I mean, this has been 2018 when that self-titled album came out, Dan Shea. And Dan Shea, this is gonna. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. It might break the rules here.
Okay.
See behind the curtain here. But so Dan and Shay were doing a week of album release with Bobby Bones. Album was coming out on whatever, Friday. Every day they're coming in and playing. So Dan and Shay asked me, will you just come play keys with us? We're just doing like acoustic. Well, we're like, hey, they're actually going to film along one day. That's the part that no one's supposed to
know. Oh, it's okay. Anybody listen to this, I let them know we record stuff in advance.
Okay, cool. Yeah. It's
I
not
appreciate
that
you though saying that.
Yeah. Okay. You can cut it off. So we show up with 4 outfits. You know, it's 4 days. So we do the first one. I'm wearing like all black. And we finish. And we're like, all right, let's get ready for the next one. And I was like, all right, what should I wear? And you kind of chimed in. You're like, man, are you just going to be, you're sitting in the same spot? And I was like, yeah. He's like, you're like, dude, don't worry about it. Just, you can keep the same thing on. I was like, you sure? Like, you're like, dude, yeah, doesn't matter. It's all good. You know, just like totally chill. And I was like, all right, cool. So Dan and Shay change. We get set up. We roll the second one. We're going, it's the next day. You know, it's like, hey, everybody, you know, Bobby Bones here, whatever. We got Dan Shea in again. And they're like, yeah, we're going to play this song, Speechless. We actually wrote with our buddy here. And you go, well, hold on a second. This guy back here, he was here yesterday, right? And they're like, yeah, he's here. He's like, he's wearing the same outfit that he wore yesterday. And I was like, I didn't even have a mic. I couldn't respond. And I was like, you dog. I was like instant respect.
That's funny.
I was like, man, that is.
That's funny.
That's next level comedy.
That's funny. I mean, I'm laughing at that. I don't remember that. That's funny.
Bro, it was like, all right, I think I could hang with this
dude. I set you up for my own enjoyment. That's classic me.
It was awesome. I've told that story to a lot of people.
That's funny.
I don't think I knew what to expect. Like, I was just like stoked to be there. And so I think the fact that that happened, I was like, man, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. He's got it. He's got it.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like me saving a kid from a well or something. Yeah. It turns out it's just me messing with him.
In a way, you did.
Yeah, that is great. Well, you guys follow Jordan K. Reynolds. I'm a big fan. You are remarkably warm to be around.
Like
thanks, from the minute I walked in and we sat down, I've done this enough times in one form or the other. Either I click with someone, I can click with someone, or I don't, and we get through it.
Oh yeah,
but man, like you're
what
just
a talent to have too.
Easily, you're just a guy that I think you just like you.
Thanks, man.
You're super talented. You don't have to be likable. I've really enjoyed the last hour. We've done over an hour. I've really enjoyed it. So
yeah, thanks, bro.
But you wore that last time you were here though, so it's kind of weird.
I'll probably wear it again. Wear the same. Too.
Wouldn't that be funny if every time I see him now he's just in the same clothes as the long?
I'll kind of make it a point. I'll keep it with me just in case I run into you. Yeah.
What are you doing the rest of the day?
Well, we're about to head to Texas, so. For my sister-in-law's wedding.
Oh, okay.
Say congrats to Caitlin, you know.
Well, congratulations.
By the time you hear this, you'll be married.
Caitlin, congratulations. I can't believe you're getting married. I knew all these years. I said to Jordan, I said, when Caitlin finds him, when I mean him, I mean
Jack.
Jack.
You might have even said Jack.
Yeah, well, I said Jack or
Jackie John, boy. I can't remember.
JJ. Yeah. I knew it was him, Caitlin. And so congratulations. Mm. This is going to last a long time. And wait till you hear the song Jordan wrote just for you. He was playing it for me on the phone. So
at the wedding.
Have him play. Yeah. Jordan, thank you, buddy. You guys follow at @better_songs_ and at Jordan K. Reynolds. And I think, anything else, Mike?
I think we're good.
All right, we're good. There he is, Jordan Reynolds.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines. All on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.